Chapter 33. Reed, I called from the bridge doorway. In your office. Sir, she whispered, aware that everyone was looking at her. I should be on the bridge now in case we need to do something, yeah, I said. Except there is nothing we can do right now other than remain here in stealth. I need you with me so we can wargame some options with Bilby. She was torn, I could see that. With a curt nod, she turned to her XO. Gasquet, you have the con. Alert me if the enemy detects our people on the surface. Her office had the advantage of being close to the bridge. She could be back in the command chair in less than a minute. She sat with her office chair swiveled so she could get up immediately without her desk in the way. Bilby, she called. We need to explore our options for recovering the star operators. Options that don't require Skippy to do anything more than he has already done. Where, Reed cocked her head, is Skippy? Why isn't he part of this wargaming? He's busy, working on something. Hopefully working on a solution to this mess. In the meantime, we need alternatives that don't involve Skippy's particular, capabilities. As I said that, I looked down at the desk, then up at Reed. Her lips were compressed in a thin line. She knew what I meant. That we shouldn't, couldn't, rely on Skippy being the old Skippy. She didn't know why, and she understood that I would tell her what she needed to know. Or, since she had served with Sims during many times when I withheld important information from my executive officer, she knew I might keep vital information to myself. So, Bilby, I took a breath. What do we got? Like, nothing? The ship's slacker AI was depressed. There are no options. We are one ship. Anything the away team does to climb back into orbit, the Maxulks will detect on sensors. This is bogus, man. Reed grimaced and gave me the side eye. No, not quite. She had glanced at me to judge whether to say something. Whatever it was, it made her uncomfortable. Fireball, I used a call sign. If you have anything to say, I want to hear it. Sir, I'm sure this isn't anything you haven't considered. You just don't like it. I don't like it either. I don't see a realistic alternative. Bad news doesn't get better with age, so... The away team's best chance for survival is to hold up somewhere and wait for the Maxulk's fleet to just go away. You're right. I had considered that, and I don't like it. And? And you're right, damn it. It is their best option. Teams Charlie and Romeo can set their dropships down somewhere remote, set up stealth netting, and just wait. Zulu will have to go hide and hope they aren't detected by the locals until the heat is off and they can exfil. There are two problems with that. It means we have to stay here, wait for an opportunity to pick up the away teams. While we are waiting, we can't be somewhere else and we leave the field of play open to Moonraider. Once there is no longer a senior species task force in orbit, our regular Navy can handle retrieval of ST Razor. We could fly out to make contact with the Navy, probably a Jaguar. She moved to pick up her tablet, then pushed it away. A navigation solution could wait. We would be away, she looked at the ceiling while she considered the issue. 5-6 days, assuming we can use a wormhole shortcut. The kiddies don't appear to be in a rush to leave orbit. That's the other problem. Team Zulu near the warehouse only has 7 days of food rations with them, and the local plants and animals don't meet human nutritional needs. Same with the food the Bosphorok are growing down there. The carbohydrates and proteins are either useless to us or poisonous. Zulu team will have to remove their suits to conserve power, and they'll be exposed to the local wildlife. We know many of the insects are venomous to us. Stars carry repellent sprays, Reed noted. They do, and that doesn't help if one of our people steps on a critter that bites. Sir, I am fairly certain Colonel Frey would not like to know you are concerned about her people being in danger from bugs. They train for exposure to hazardous indigenous life, and they received a full briefing before they dropped Dirtside. I hear you. Critters they can handle. The flexible suit liners were made of a material much stronger than Kevlar, and Stars carried booties, gloves, and hoods. There was also a netting they could pull over their faces to keep away flying insects. Food, though, is an issue. The report I read of your second mission, when your crew was stranded on Newark, said you requested a delivery from Skippy's Pizza? The memory made me smile. Something like that. Can we do that here? Bilby, I wanted to move on before Reed could ask more questions about Skippy. The Ravens can't risk flying with Max Salt ships overhead. Can we deliver food packages to the surface near Zephestra?
Whoa, like, it might be possible. On Newark, Skippy had control of the local sensor network, and the threat was from only a group of lizards on the surface. Here, there are senior species ships in orbit. Their sensors would detect and track anything dropping from orbit. We would need to get, like, creative, you know? Conceal the payload inside a rock, drop it to impact near the away team.
I don't want Zulu traveling to a meteor impact site outside of town. The kiddies will be monitoring the area. That wasn't likely, since the Maxolks had no reason to suspect a falling rock was anything other than common space junk. But it was a low-risk, high-impact situation, meaning if the kiddies were watching the impact site and saw a human approach, it would be a disaster for the away team. Bilby, can you design and fabricate crawler drones that could survive the impact and carry the food packages to the away teams?
Oh, wow, man, that is, like, tricky. Better to have the drones in a stealth shell that gets ejected from the meteor just before impact, floated down on a balloon.
Whatever you think is best. Show me your design and infill plan before you crank up the fabricators.
Roger Wilco, General Dude. Is that it?
Unless you have a better idea.
It's bogus, but no. I might be able to disable one of those big battle wagons, but not both of them. Any slugging match we get into will result in us taking damage that could knock out our drive, and the damping field those ships are projecting will prevent us from jumping away quickly anyway. If Skippy was, you know, with us, he maybe could do some awesome thing, but even he couldn't take on that entire task force.
Yeah.
I just can't believe we're going to leave the away team on the surface and, you know, hope the Maxolt ships leave soon.
I am open to suggestions.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Reed? Not us, sir. There's just no way. We knew it. The stars knew the risks when we started this op. Then I lightly tapped a hand on the table. It just felt like the way to end the discussion. Bilby, get to work on... Reed's phone chimed.
Colonel, Gasquet called. We have a problem.
Back on the bridge, I waved for Gasquet to stay in his chair while I stood off to the right of the main display. The problem was the kiddies somehow had learned the same thing Skippy had discovered, that at some point the missing canister of radonium had been moved to the spaceport. Their team in Zephestra were racing back to base, and Maxalt's soldiers at the spaceport were fanning out there to conduct a hard target search of every warehouse, hangar, weapons magazine, farmhouse, henhouse, doghouse, and outhouse in that area. Give me a view of that spaceport, I said to no one in particular. Usually when I wanted the main display adjusted, Skippy handled it, or Bilby, whoever.
Sure thing, dude,
Bilby drawled, and the holographic image flickered for a moment, then zoomed in to an overhead view of the sprawling spaceport complex. The area inside the fence line was huge, much larger than the planet needed, given the relatively small number of flights the ports accommodated each year. The designers must have been ambitious about future expansion. The vast area the Kitty search team had to cover was good for us. Not so good was the number of structures enclosed by the fence. Bilby, add outlines of any underground structures. Overlaid on the satellite image were schematics of the facilities buried beneath the surface. Red is ammunition magazines, yellow is fuel tanks, and blue is...
Whatever,
the ship's AI explained.
You can probably ignore the fuel storage.
I count above ground and below 9 structures. That's all?
The view is real time. What you see is what you get.
Okay, pull back a bit. Show me a kilometer beyond the fence line. The area was almost completely empty. Either no one wanted to build near the noisy and potentially dangerous spaceport, or that land was reserved for expansion. That's not good. I rubbed my chin. The kiddies will have every square meter of those buildings thoroughly searched within an hour. If the radonium is there, they will find it. Bilby, Reed stood up. Are you intercepting their communications in real time?
Affirmative, except for, you know, the speed of light delay. The kiddies on the ground are not using their higher-level encryption. They don't have that gear with them. If they find the canister, I will know about it right away.
Sir, we need to assume they will find it. She addressed that comment to me. We can jump in just beyond the damping field, flood the target with salvos of directed energy and railguns, then jump away. The enemy will intercept some of the railgun darts. We can still turn a section of that spaceport into a smoking crater. Then we jump away before the enemy ships can get into position to cut off our escape route. Though I nodded approval, I did it without enthusiasm. Let's leave that option as a last resort. Unless we can be certain to vaporize the radonium, the Maxalts will set up a long-term presence here to scour the area for fragments. We would never be able to retrieve our people from Dirtside. Reed bit her lip. We can crank the railguns up to 11, maximize the impact energy, or deploy atomic compression warheads on missiles. Missiles will get intercepted in flight. The Maxalt ships are on high alert. Regardless, the enemy will remain here until they are certain they have picked up every particle of radonium. The stuff is too valuable to leave scattered on the ground. Without thinking about it, I rubbed my chin again. Did I do that when playing poker? It was an obvious tell. We will be better off waiting for the kiddies to load their prize on a dropship. Hit it when it clears the atmosphere. The debris cloud will cover half of the planet. Even the most stubborn kiddie will know that's not practical to recover. Unless they send up more than one dropship and we don't know which one carries the canister. Or they split the payload into multiple containment canisters. They are not familiar with the material. I don't see them trying to transfer it from the canister that has held the radonium safely for years. Probably they will take precautions like loading that old canister into one of their containment vessels, one that could survive re-entry if the dropship's engines fail. They don't know we're here, so they won't expect us to jump in and hit that dropship. Or drop ships. We can target more than one. Our big guns can take out several little spacecraft while we are safely beyond the limit of the damping field. No, I reached a decision. We wait. They'll bring it upstairs and we turn it into space dust. That still left the problem of the star teams stranded on the surface at Zephestra. In spite of my confident words, there was a possibility the Maxalts would be desperate enough to set up ram scoops to collect any particles of radonium that hadn't fallen out of orbit. That process could take months. During that time, the kiddies would maintain a presence in orbit. They would also be intensively scanning the surface for chunks of radonium, and they would carefully examine anything that fell from the sky. Reed, I'll be in my office. I turned toward the bridge doorway. Bilby, we need to drop not only food packages to Team Zulu, but possibly also a synthesizer that can turn native carbs and proteins into something humans can eat. The synthesizers were too large to drop inside any meteor that was small enough not to automatically get zapped by the planet's SD network, so they would have to be disassembled and sent down in pieces. We also had to send the starter gels that got the synthesis process going. Bilby judged that dropping both food and synthesizers was doable, though we had to scrap the idea of including delivery drones. Drones were more important than a synthesizer. To provide cover for the payload rock, we would be dropping a shotgun spray of meteors that would fall over a wide area, so many meteors that we would deplete the supply of raw materials we carried. The operation should work, unless the Maxalt's crew monitoring sensors aboard a ship in orbit got too curious about the space rocks and decided to run a spectral analysis. A scan would show the composition of the rocks did not match the chemical makeup of the asteroids in that star system. The signature would be close, since Valkyrie carried a variety of dust that could be heated and compressed into space rocks. Close was not the same as matching. And if the kiddies got their AIs to take a look at the meteors, those powerful thinking machines would know two things immediately. Those rocks didn't come from the local star system, and they were fabricated recently. We had to hope no one cared about a cluster of space rocks.
We can be ready to launch the first cluster in 47 minutes, Bilby announced after he checked the first rock that came out of the fabricator. You know what is the major stinking problem with delivering rocks from out here?
Yeah.
At Valkyrie's position 8 light seconds from Molitan, it would take the meteors several days to reach the planet. That was no good.
I suggest we use dropships to fly in and launch the rocks.
Thanks for the suggestion, but that's no good.
The dropships would be hanging out alone if we have to jump. Could Valkyrie jump in beyond the range of the damping field and we launch from there?
The gamma ray. We will time our arrival so our gamma ray burst will be drowned out by one of the enemy cruisers jumping away. They rotate their sensor picket ships on a fairly regular schedule, and you can detect when a particular ship is preparing for a jump.
Oh, wow. Yeah, good idea. Solid!
That still will only work if Skippy can control our drive. He can do magical things I can't.
When we get to that point, I will wake up Skippy.
Okay. If you don't mind me asking, is he, like, on a spiritual journey or something?
You could say that.
Righteous. Yeah, I've thought about doing that. Take a sabbatical to find the deep meaning of life, you know?
I had no idea how to respond. How would a ship's AI go on sabbatical?
That is an interesting notion. You...
Oops. Dude, we're out of time. The kiddies at the spaceport just found the canister. The Admiral upstairs wants the Radonium aboard his battleship like ASAP. A dropship at the spaceport should be skids up in 12 minutes.
12 minutes, I repeated. Another 15 minutes to reach orbit. Maybe 20 if the pilots are being gentle with their cargo. I was talking to myself while I rose from my chair. Bilby put a hold on prepping space rocks. We'll come back to that later after the task force here jumps away.
Oh, I have bad news about that. The kitty admiral here is pissed that the locals weren't exactly enthusiastic about cooperating, so he's leaving the other battleship here with the cruiser squadron. Those ships will enforce a traffic blockade. No ships in, no ships out. Extracting the stars will be super difficult. Sorry, I'm just hearing this now.
It's okay. Though I had stood up, my feet weren't moving. What I needed to do was think, not walk.
We can, like, take on one battleship or the cruiser squadron, but not both.
I know. Let Colonel Reed know I'm coming to the bridge.
Roger, Wilco, man.
Briefly, I wondered when Bilby had started using what sounded to me like World War II radio slang. There was no time to ponder that question, no time to consider more options. We had to act, and there was only one way to accomplish our primary mission, to stop Moon Raider from getting 16 kilograms of radonium. The only way we could achieve that goal was to risk abandoning the star team. Leaving my people to quietly starve to death was unthinkable. It was my job to think the unthinkable and issue such orders if necessary, for the good of the mission. That part of my job has not gotten any easier. When I walked onto the bridge, Reed had dispensed with announcing my presence. That just got old after a while. Colonel Frey is appraised of the situation, she told me as I was still in the doorway. Using fake meteors to deliver food is, in her opinion, too risky. She recommends that Zulu team go into hibernation protocol instead. That? Hibernation in a mech suit was a medically induced deep sleep that greatly reduced the requirements for oxygen, water, food, and power. On a world with a breathable atmosphere, oxygen was not a constraint, and water could be extracted from humid air. A mech suit could even make water by combining atmospheric hydrogen and oxygen. For the stars, the critical supplies they had to be concerned about were food and power. There was also the problem that a hibernating person could not react quickly if a threat approached. Coming out of a drugged sleep took 20 minutes, and the person would be groggy and disoriented for another half an hour. Hibernation mode was not intended for use in environments where any enemy was actively searching for intruders. Tell Frey to hold on that. We shouldn't commit yet. Lowering my voice, I added, hibernation might be an option for a star team in the wilderness, but the team in Zufestra won't have a place to hole up long term. That is an urban environment, and the sun will be over the horizon there, and I checked a counter on the main display. Less than 2 hours. Frey thought of that, Reed whispered back. The town of Zufestra's municipal sewage system was built oversized to accommodate future growth. That never happened. The team there can take shelter in the main pipes without obstructing the, flow. Hibernating in airspaces above the water? That was a terrible idea. The operators would be sitting ducks, sleeping ducks, if an inspection bot came down the pipe. There are no air gaps in the main pipes. They will be sleeping in the suits can extract oxygen from the water and filter out other things. The corners of her mouth turned down. The main issue for them will be not having solar panels, but as they won't need to run holo projectors, they tell her I will consider it. Where is the dropship with the radonium? Being prepped now. She pointed to a satellite feed in the center of the main display. It showed an overhead view of the spaceport, focused on a dropship that was surrounded by vehicles and troops. The image is only 8 seconds old, she reminded me. Based on the heat signature of the engines, that ship is ready for flight as soon as the cargo is secured. Where is the cargo now? I asked, knowing that now was 8 seconds in the past. In the building outlined in green. That is, I squinted to read the tiny script on the display. The administration office for the airfield. What was it doing there? Way to go, Bishop, I told myself. Keep focused on what is truly important. No, that doesn't matter. All right, Colonel. Take us to battle stations. We're jumping in just outside the dampened field to hit that dropship when it clears atmo. Yes, sir. If she expected me to come up with a brilliant plan to deny the radonium to the enemy, capture it for ourselves, and rescue the star team, she didn't show it. I knew she was thinking it anyway. Waving for Gasquet to keep his seat, I headed toward the back bulkhead. He shook his head. General, if this goes sideways, the captain will need revised orders immediately. I can handle my station from, he gestured to the rear seats, back there. He was right, of course. He got up, I sat down and strapped in. We watched as a sort of forklift rolled out from under the spaceport's admin building carrying a containment vessel. The forklift went up the dropship's rear ramp, and minutes later the area around the dropship was cleared. All traffic at the spaceport was halted as the dropship took off, flying slowly at first as the pilots were double-checking all their systems. Then the spacecraft pointed its nose at the sky. They're flying a standard low orbital insertion profile, Bilby announced. I can project where and when they will clear atmo within 300 meters. Thank you, Reed muttered while tapping on her armrest controls. She asked for all stations to report ready for flight and for fight. Navigation was ready, propulsion ready, weapons ready. I zoned out. Not because I didn't need to listen since Valkyrie was Reed's ship. Not because we had been in more dangerous, more desperate combat situations before. Because even if everything went as planned and we hit that dropship and got away, we would be leaving the job only half done. No, only one-third done. The radonium would be kept from easy use by Moonraider, but we wouldn't have it for waking up another Sentinel. And Frey's team would be stuck on that rock indefinitely. That was unacceptable. Cupping a Z-phone in my hand, I whispered into it. Skippy. No answer. Skippy, come on. I need you right now. Nothing. A jump countdown clock appeared on the main display. Tapping out a text, I sent it to the beer can. No response. I texted Bilby, try to contact Skippy. He sent back, like he is asleep. Desperate times call for desperate measures. I had no choice. On my phone was an app for assigning tasks to various maintenance and domestic bots around the ship. Bilby or Skippy usually assigned a submine to handle those bots, so I rarely ever used that app. It took me a moment to remember the user interface. There it was. One bot had a load of dirty clothes and was headed toward the ship's laundry facility. With a few commands, I gave it a new task. It turned around and headed directly toward Skippy's escape pod man cave. 7 minutes to jump. Did he have any dirty clothing there that needed to be washed? He most certainly did not. He did have precious memorabilia, including a genuine Elvis jumpsuit. 6 minutes to jump. The bot took that jumpsuit off its display stand and stuffed it in with the dirty clothes.
Hey!
The beer can's voice thundered from every speaker on the bridge, and in the passageway, and all over the ship. I was surprised the Max Alts didn't hear him.
Who is touching my stuff?
Sorry, Skippy. I pressed fingers to my ears.
That is my Elvis jumpsuit! What is wrong with you?
Don't shout, please. I could barely hear myself talking. Are you back with us?
I am back, baby! Woohoo!
That's great. So you...
Large and in charge!
Please stop shouting, I pleaded. Or I think I said that. My mouth was moving, my ears were ringing like I had stood in front of the speakers at a concert trying to get the attention of a girl I liked. Not that I ever did anything like that. Okay, he huffed. That bot is putting my jumpsuit right back where... Oh, it is mixed in with someone's dirty socks. And sweaty underwear. Yuck. Joe, this is unforgivable. You didn't leave me any choice. It is ruined. Ruined, he sobbed. Wasn't that thing covered in sweat already? That is Elvis sweat. It is totally... He gasped. OMG, Joe, what are you monkeys doing? That dropship is carrying the radonium. We're preparing to turn it into space dust. No, you numbskull, we need that stuff, I told you. OMG, Joe, were you planning to leave the star teams on that rock? We were planning to salvage the best we can from a bad situation. Valkyrie can't take on two senior species battleships and a cruiser squadron. Ugh, he sighed. I duck out of work early for one freaking afternoon and look what happens. This is hopeless. Stop the jump countdown, please. Reed gestured to the pilots and the countdown froze. Skippy, do you... I rubbed my ears that were still ringing. Have a better plan? Any plan is better than this nonsense. Can you execute such a plan? Dude, he laughed. Please. It's me. Is it you? Joe. More than ever. Okay. So we launch micro-wormholes at... There is no time for that. Joe, you have time for doing only one thing. Trusting the awesomeness.
Whoa, you are asking for a lot here.
That is because I am planning to do a lot. Take out those enemy ships, capture the radonium, rescue the girl. Colonel Frey is not a girl. You know what I mean. Those two battleships are the newest, most powerful design in their fleet, plus they have six cruisers backing them up. Those battle wagons are powerful, that is true. But, he sang,
I know something you don't know.
Talk fast, beer can.